Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. And I'm excited because today is Vision Update Sunday. And so it's a great Sunday for you to be here. We've got a lot of great stuff planned for you. And I'm super excited because we've got a guest speaker with us today. One of my friends, John and Katie, and their kids are downstairs. And so John's going to come up in just a minute. I just want to say, if it is your first time here, if you're visiting or you're new to Truth Community Church, welcome. You are here on an awesome Sunday. And in the chair back in front of you is an orange Connect card. If you would take a minute, fill it out, and hand it to a welcome team player before you leave. We have a gift we want to give you as a way of saying thanks for investing this hour with us. So I'm excited. John is going to preach today. He is going to drop fire on us today. We are excited for John to be here. John is one of my reserved friends, so he's going to appear and just be like, I'm not dropping any fire. But I'm excited for John and for Katie, and Karis is up here, and their other two little ones are downstairs hanging out. And so would you welcome my friend John as he comes up?
Thanks, man. All right. I like that. Thank you for that intro. Here comes the fire. All right. Hey, I'm just really glad to be here. We are big fans, and just want to get you up to date on things. We are so comfortable here. We could come to church here, but we live in Syracuse, so we can't do that. So, but good day. I can see it on your faces. We are ready for a good day. My family is here. Katie right here with our little one, Karis, and a couple ones downstairs. Thank you, God, for getting us here safe, and we'll be on our way home this afternoon after being here a few days. I want to tell you a little about what we like to do as Youth Alive. We're a ministry across New York. We're missionaries. We've been able to partner with this church. Thank you. You have been incredible, incredible people in our ministry. Would you give yourselves a hand? What I mean is, when we come into a church and we partner with churches, we are really looking at you as the ones who send us. Essentially, we want to go beyond these walls, and missions is all about going beyond walls. In fact, that's how the gospel has advanced. Now, we need the church. And we need the church to be a sending station. We need the church to be a going station. We need the church to be a giving station. We need it all, okay? And you guys are all playing a part. Whether you give, whether you pray, whether you go, all of us need to do all three. But for us, some of you are giving to missions, and I just want to say thank you. We have been building a ministry across the state. A year and a half ago, I met a girl named Alice, high school student, and we went to her youth group. She's part of a local church upstate, and she just really had a heart to do something in her school. She's a believer, but she wanted to see God's message go across her school. Not just God's message, she actually just wanted to see a positive voice in her school, because she's really seen some pretty nasty things in her school. So I got to know Alice for a period of time. I went to her youth group, got to know her dad, and got to know some of her friends. And so what I do with Youth Alive, what we do as a mission, is we come alongside these students, and we try to do whatever we can to empower them to be the missionaries that God's called them to be. Because really, we are called to be missionaries in the church. Every one of us. It doesn't fall on some. It really is everybody. Wherever we are, we're on mission. So Alice was one girl that we had met, and she was ready. We wanted to give her everything she needed to get the job done. So she knew in years past there was a Bible club in her school, a Christian club that she kind of worked through in her high school. Actually, her siblings were formerly involved in that. And we wanted to re-engage that idea of a Christian club in her public high school in Hannibal. And so what we did was we worked alongside her at least to get the little energy toward it. And we even set up with the school a whole school assembly program. So Youth Alive is able to come in because we have such a great history with the 7 Project, which is our own school assembly program across the country. We're able to come in and present it to a principal as a tool for their own school population. So we came in alongside this principal. We came in and did a whole school assembly. We needed a lot to get there. We needed to get some sponsorship. And we came in that day. In fact, I've got a couple pictures of what it looks like when we come in. If you could put up some of those slides, moving into some of these right here. And so you can see here, this is Hannibal High School, the football team. Here we are on stage. We had some other people involved. We had this gentleman here, African-American gentleman, Brian Pruitt, football player that we work with, former Central Michigan University star, AP All-American football star, who goes and speaks in schools. And we got to work with him. He's on our team. And we had an incredible day in that school. In fact, we were there on homecoming weekend. And they had us in there, and we talked about hope. How many believe that our schools need hope? We do, right? There's a real negative spirit in our schools sometimes, and sometimes just a voice from the outside can do a switch in someone's heart. We got to see some incredible change just among the people, among the kids. And the staff's comments were fantastic. We were even invited back by the student, because they have a club, to be in the evening. And in the evening, we could talk about Jesus. We could talk about faith. Because the school lets in community groups. We're a community group, right? And so because the church has a relationship with the school, and that's what we are all about with Youth Alive, we want to see that connection built. And when students know there's a relationship, it's a lot easier for the student to approach the principal and say, hey, my community just wants to use the facility. And what can the principal say? Well, you're a community group. Come on in. And they want to see students empowered, believe it or not, across this state. They do. They want to see students taking relevant steps, especially if they're serving the school. This club, just like many others, can be a service component of your local churches, and that's what's wonderful. It's like those students are on mission, a mission outpost of the local church. Well, we came back that evening, on homecoming evening, with all kinds of other things going on, and the kids there, of those kids, 18 responded to the gospel message. For me, that's what we want to do. We want to see someone like Alice be able to connect all the dots with the Holy Spirit involved. And so that's what the 7 Project is. It's a tool of the local church. It's a tool for the school. It's a way to bridge the gap. It's to help churches connect to schools. And we don't just do that. We do a number of other things to empower students. And we're growing in that direction. We want you to believe and pray for the Riverhead schools. Could you do that? Because this community needs you, needs us to build a bridge. So much healing and hope can be coming through us, right? Well, we're just going to be talking about mission here for this bit of time here, and I'm pumped. We're going to get into 2 Corinthians. Recently, we were spending time with the wonderful family, the Terraminas. We're just really, would you just say, these guys are great. You just bless them as much as you can. We bless them right now. Well, it was a few months back that actually we had our kids with Cheryl in one of our ministry events. We were trying to get a little babysitting while we got to some training, and they provided the childcare. And in that classroom, he thinks I'm just gushing on him right now, but really this is a story. We're going somewhere. In that classroom, we have a cup with a little dirt, and we got the little seed that we got to push down in there. Well, actually, my son had a little cup he came home with, and he's like, Daddy, I planted a seed, you know? And the excitement about that. We're going to talk about that today. We're talking about reaping what we sow. Because here's the deal. Once he put that seed in there, that's all he watched for the next few weeks. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, we came back. He's like, Daddy, did you water them? You know, the cup, it's sitting on our porch, this little styrofoam cup. One day, this little ceramic cup that we transferred it to broke. And I mean, that was like the big talk of the morning, you know. My son, he's 4. It was all about the seed. Well, one day, of course, the plant sprouts up. Beautiful. Amazing. So we're all pumped because he's seeing what he planted grow. Let's get into the word today. We're in 2 Corinthians, and Paul is intense about the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is God's good news. It's an announcement that, guess what? Your sins are actually forgiven. In fact, Jesus came in your place because really we couldn't do anything about it. God himself got in human clothes and did it. Some people say, why would God kill his son? Well, here's the deal. God killed himself, in a sense. I mean, this is God coming in human skin. He didn't take one of us and throw us on the cross, thank God. He came in human form as God. What a blessing. And somebody might say to you, you know, why would God do something so terrible? Well, because sin is so terrible, he had to answer it. And guess what? He didn't do it and leave it to us. He took our place. And so the message of the gospel in those ancient days, just like today, was so powerful in the lives of Paul and these early disciples. I mean, they gave themselves to it. And if you read in Romans, we won't go there right now, but Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." Not ashamed of it. Inside this is the righteousness of Christ, he says in verse 17. And so he believes heavily in this. This is what everything's about. And so when you get into the message, and Paul's talking about going to a church, the Corinthian church, and getting them to give, he's serious. He's making it a big deal. In fact, if you get into this scripture, you're going to find that he even gets a little sarcastic with them because he's just like, come on, people, get into this because this is what it's all about. It's more than just coming here and being part of this community of faith and sharing your resources. It's about ultimately advancing the gospel. What's the goal? The goal is the gospel. The goal is the gospel and expanding God's family. Father God, right now, would you just speak through this word that you have right here in front of us? That would you just speak loud and clear and help us to hear it in Jesus' name? Amen. Okay, I'm going to the phone Bible right now, if you don't mind. I like it. All right. So I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and I'm getting into 2 Corinthians 9, and I'm in verses 6. I'm going to read 6 through 8. You can see it on the screen. Remember this, a farmer who plants a few seeds, only a few seeds, will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left to share with others. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources, then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Verse 12, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Verse 13 is what we'll focus in on today. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. A lot of stuff's happening when we start giving. In fact, what he's saying is, if you can go back, it's going to work generosity in you. It's actually going to start to develop you. One thing I love about the idea of giving to do something in me is that I can make a conscious choice that I don't feel necessarily anything about, and it will develop something that I didn't have before. In other words, when my son had no really idea on what that would do for him to drop that seed in the soil. But when he saw the thing bloom and he cared for it and tended to it, suddenly he saw the results of that and it started to pour back into him and understand, if I did this a million times, I'm going to get a lot of these things. You start to realize what God's doing through you, you're going to start to plant. And it says, you know, don't look at this. Paul's almost being like, come on, don't look at this like, you know, just plant a little bit. Look at what's going to happen. And, you know, your generosity is going to be an explosion. If you do a little bit, guess what? In 2 months, you'll be like, man, I wish, you know, I planted a little more. You know, I wish I gave a little more. You don't want to be to that place in your life where you say, man, I just wish I was a little bit more generous with my time, a little more generous with what God gave me. Because honestly, and ultimately, when you look at what the result is, the gospel, the greatest thing that changed you and will change others, we don't want to be holding back. What are we doing with our seed? That's the question today. I want to look at verse 13. It says, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. These people who are doing ministry, Paul was trying to just get the Corinthians to give outside themselves for this further effort of the gospel, and you can read about that in this scripture, to reach beyond our walls, they are going to be so excited about what happened. You know, this church itself, I don't know all the story, but I know some of it, and it, because of some other church that gave, this church exists, and that's how this whole thing happens. I mean, this is the mission engine of the church. Go, give, pray, it happens, now there's more churches. This can't be stopped. God is behind it, and it keeps going. And if we can get in it, we're going to go further. I mean, this church won't be just like, okay, let me just grow. I'm going to actually be planting churches from here. Wow, I just got here, and I'm going to be planting? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because this is the mission engine of the church. It says, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove, here's what else it does, it proves that you're obedient. So in other words, you're just not like, you know, kind of receiving the benefits week to week. In fact, what it's also saying is you're part of this thing. In fact, it proves that you're in line with it. Because really a disciple is somebody who makes disciples. In fact, we're all missionaries. We said that to begin with. You are now going to be part of that missionary spirit of the church. Incredible. So I can be just outside that or I can be in it. I could be outside it or I could be part of the engine. And that's what we're inviting all of us to be part of. And today's message is for you. And whether you're a believer tonight, I want you to know that God's family extends around the world. It's one of the greatest corporations that ever existed. And I said corporation, but there's no, you know, the Bible is the papers, okay? All right? The Bible is the papers. This thing is around the world, and Donald Trump can be jealous. Because seriously, it's gigantic, okay? It's huge, all right? It's better. It's bigger. You got to be honest. It's there's nothing like it. And we can't control it or stop it. I mean, nobody can contain it. It's all over the world. It's growing in China. It's growing in Africa. You can count. We're all in the same family when we believe. It's the body of Jesus Christ, and it's been here. And you can be thankful to be part of it today. This will prove that you're obedient to the good news, which is the gospel. I'm just pumped because when it comes to mission, it really increases our own faith too. So as we give, we get an ounce of faith back. I mean, scripture proves it. What happens is we get more encouraged. And here's the thing, the big message I think is really when you start putting the seed in the ground and taking care of it, you know, it starts to be something you look after. When you put that seed there in the morning when you wake up and you're, you know, hovering over your bowl of Cheerios, you're going to think, I wonder how those missionaries are doing over there. I mean, I wonder how the world is changing because of my local church where I put my time and my talent and my treasure. I wonder what's happening because, you know, the same thing happens in principles and all over our life. Some of us have planted seeds in areas that probably shouldn't have been planted, and now we're watching over that thing, and it's a waste of our life. What if we just planted in the areas that God was calling us to? I mean, there could be areas that you're just invested in and you're deep in and you're like, oh, I wish I even wasn't. Some of you are lamenting that or you're just really intensely worried about that. And I just want to say God will make a way out of that. If you would just say, that's not where I need my seed right now. If you start making conscious choices about where you're planting, God will change things. And I just want to wrap it up with this. You tend to care for the things you tend to care for. You tend to care for the things you tend to care to. Okay? You care for them, the things that you tend to. So when you start to put that seed in there, you're going to start caring for it. And that's what we want you to do. You reap what you sow, and you tend to care about what you put in that ground. Friends, I want to encourage you to walk into that mission and step in it together. Let's pray. Father God, speak to our hearts about mission, Lord. Honor the seed that's planted, God, because you're faithful about your good news. You don't want it to stop. God, teach us about how generosity can be grown in us as we invest in a direction. God, your word says where we start to put things, our heart will follow. Our heart's going to follow toward it. Lord God, I pray that you change our hearts today. In Jesus' name, for the gospel, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Man, John, thank you so much. Inspiring us and just reminding us of that. And that's the principle that Jesus taught on when he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So I always thought of it the other way around. Like, if I care about it, then I'll start to put money into it. Then my treasure will go there. But Jesus actually says, no, if you start investing, if you start tending to it, you'll start caring about it. And I want to thank John for that. Can we just honor John again for that reminder today? John and his family are doing amazing things. They're working in schools, and they're helping students reach students, and they're partnering with churches and local schools. And he said it. We have Riverhead School District that we want to see impacted by the gospel. I know in this room right now, we got parents here. Your kids go into that school district. And I know you would nod along and just say, I want to see positive gospel influence there. I want to see a culture change in that community. And that's what these Youth Alive missionaries do. What I love about John and his family is that they are missionaries right here in our neighborhood and right upstate in New York.
York, and they're helping churches in New York say, how can you partner with your local schools? They're helping students to say, I really want to start a Bible club. I really want to start helping my teachers out. I really want to create a positive movement. And John and Katie are there to say, okay, that's awesome. We're ready to help you do that. And so I'm excited for them. I'm excited for every single one of you in this space today. So this is Vision Update Sunday. Vision Update Sunday. And what we do on this Sunday, the last Sunday of July, is I just get to share with you where we've been for the first half of 2018 and let you in on why there is an air mattress up here for the rest of 2018. I know that turkey is still sitting there, okay? And so we're going to talk about that. But I'm excited. I want to just celebrate some of the things that God has done in this space that you may or not be aware of, and I want you to be fired up during this time, because everything we're about to see up here and everything I'm about to share with you for a few minutes, and don't worry, clock watchers, John spoke for 15, I got 15, okay? So it's still 30 minutes, okay? So we're not going into the 11. The 11 will be here when they get here. But I want to celebrate with you some of the things that we've seen accomplished. So Nick, let's throw up that next slide there. Just talks about this. Our purpose, if you don't know it, is to lead people to discover Jesus, connect with others, and serve the world. Okay, super easy. In fact, there's three words I love for us to say together, and it's discover, connect, serve. Can we do that? Discover, connect, serve. That's, if someone says, why does your church exist? Oh, we exist, discover, connect, serve. Oh, what's the purpose of your church? Oh, discover, connect, serve. That is the heartbeat of our church. And how that happens is through gatherings, groups, and teams. We primarily discover Jesus through a Sunday gathering, through music, through community, through our kids' space, through a communicator. Everything since the moment you pulled in and Steve was out there waving you in and you saw a sign, that's you beginning to discover Jesus. Because who's crazy enough to put a sign out there and a guy waving people in? Only people that are crazy about Jesus, right? We want to know, before, right when you turn on Bell Ave, there's something different about this space. And you walk in and you're greeted and someone's helping you find a seat and the band is playing music that you might actually listen to Monday through Saturday, right? It's like, man, I like this stuff and I'm learning about Jesus. And then John this morning, our communicator, is helping you discover Jesus. That's why we do Sunday gatherings. And I want to celebrate, when we started this year in January, we had 47 people average on a Sunday. Last month, we had 85 average. Come on, we can clap for that. We can celebrate that. That's a lot. That's like a 65% increase. And we're not just clapping for numbers. That number represents people that are discovering Jesus. Okay, we don't just get excited because the numbers go up. We get excited because behind every number is a name. And that's another person that came into this space and said, I want to discover Jesus. And I want to bring my friends and my family members. And so the next thing is to connect with people. We have groups starting in September. Now, at the beginning of the year, we had zero groups. And now in September, we're going to have four groups. And that's another reason to celebrate. These are opportunities all week long, Wednesday through Saturday, where you're going to get to connect with other people in someone's home. And so if you haven't already, and so you know, some people have, and these groups cap off at 15 a person. So if you want to get in a group, you should take out your phone now and sign up. No, don't do it now. But you should sign up, because we've already got 15% of our church is already there. I'm ready to go for groups in September. So go on the website later today. Go right to the groups page. Sign up for a group that's starting between Wednesday to Saturday. And now our teams, we have 34 different team players that serve every single week. That's another reason to honor and clap for our team players here, who every single week they're saying, I want to do something. I want to serve someone. And if you're not on a team, you're holding back, get involved on a team. I know you might say, well, I've only got one Sunday a month. That's fine. Serve one Sunday a month, because you're going to be changed. You start caring about teams. You start tending to it. Like John said, your heart's going to go there. And so I'm so thankful that we've got people who serve the world every single week. Now, this next number is astronomical, and this represents for the first 6 months how much you were generous financially. So $53,451.16 to celebrate the 16 cents right there. Now, that's a big deal. Because a church that averages our size, that's really high on giving. In fact, last year for the first 6 months, that's 27% higher than it was in 2017. That's a big deal. That means that this church is growing and that people are coming and saying, I understand that if I want my heart here, I've got to put my treasure there. And people are putting their treasure into this space. And if you've got questions about, yeah, but where does the money go to? What does it go on? You're already enjoying a lot of it right now. There's air conditioning on. There's lights on. You're sitting indoors. Like, sometimes we take for granted, well, why should I give? What's it going to do? Like, you came into our building. If you don't have kids, maybe you won't understand. But parents, you know, your kids are enjoying themselves downstairs right now. It is designed as a big camp theme for the next 8 weeks. That's where your resources go. They help this place be awesome so that when people come through, like, man, I really like this. I want to discover Jesus. And it's not just in here. We're going to talk about that. Our money goes outside of these walls as well. And so, Nick, let's throw up that next slide here. Here's where we're growing. Okay, here's what my vision is for as we continue through for this year. The first is we've got the Ganan family with us. And we support the Ganan family. But today, you know what my prayer is? We're going to be able to give them five times as much as we currently are. How are we going to do that? You're going to find out. But we give them a certain amount every month. And I know this church is so generous that this is going to be an easy thing for us to say, let's bring it up. Should we double it? Nah, that's too little. Should we triple it? Nah, quadruple? No. Let's go five times what we're already doing. I'm going to talk about it. The other thing we're going to start doing is this. Next month, we're doing a thing called Grab a Bag, where for the whole month of August, every single child that comes through the church gets a free lunch bag. And so we are advertising this thing. This week, 2,411 mailers are going out to a 2-mile radius around this church to say, hey, look, we care about you. Come to church. Kids need lunch bags. You heard Mike on August 11th, we're giving out backpacks and school supplies. Well, every Sunday at every single gathering, that's 8 times next month, any kid that comes through gets a lunch bag. And then when they come back, they get this little TCC water bottle, and they come back again, they get a sandwich container and an ice pack. We want to make sure that they have everything they need. So that's another thing we're doing out. Frozen turkeys, man. I got a turkey up here. It's not frozen. You know how hard it is to get a turkey in July? This was like the largest turkey that exists right now. They haven't even started fattening them up down there at the farm yet. So I was like, Rachel, find a turkey. She's like, I am trying everywhere. No one. I'm like, just get me a bird, just something up here. But here's what we're looking to do in November. We have a partnership with Head Start right down the road, the Southampton Head Start. They have 104 students in that facility. And a lot of those kids, they don't have a means to celebrate a good Thanksgiving dinner. So last year, you were so generous, and we made sure every kid who needed a coat got a coat. This year, we want to make sure every single family gets a frozen turkey for Thanksgiving. How cool is that to be the church to say, yeah, we made sure every family in Head Start got a frozen turkey so they could have, we could celebrate that, so they could have something for Thanksgiving. I want you to catch this vision that your dollars are not just about making sure the AC blows nice and cool and the lights stay on and the heat's on and everything. We're doing stuff here, but we are ready to make sure that people outside of this building know Jesus loves them. And so what about this air mattress over here? This one I'm real excited for because this is here now, so I get to take naps on my lunch breaks at church. But here's what we're doing. I met with the executive director of Maureen's Haven 2 times in the past 2 weeks. One, we got together and he kind of just talked to me. And second time, he came to our building and did an assessment on our building. So what Maureen's Haven does is they're an organization that cares about the homeless community. And they make sure that from the months of November to April, no homeless person in our community sleeps outside. They make sure that they're going to be indoors during those evenings. And the way they do this is they find churches that are willing to open up their doors, and whether it's once or twice, that's max, once or twice a month, say, yeah, we will make sure that there's a bed, that there's a hot meal, that there's things for these people in this community to do so they can get out of the winter. So I want you to know that your church now is a partner of Maureen's Haven, and this November, we're going to make sure that we can fit 10 to 15 homeless in this room and are going to be sleeping indoors. That's a big, big deal. And to take it a step further, so you know, you're a part of the only church in Riverhead that's doing this right now. And Maureen's Haven is stationed in Riverhead. That's a big deal that we're gonna house people who are in this space. Other churches have partnered financially, but we're hoping that we can be a church that makes the movement happen of, no, we're not just going to give money. Let's open our doors up. Come on, let's buy some mattresses. Yeah, it's an expense, but let's do it. Let's supply some pizzas. Let's get some bagels, whatever that looks like. And so I'm excited. You're going to hear about opportunity to serve on that team because we're going to do it once or twice a month from November to April. That's like 6 to 12 opportunities to meet people's needs. And so I'm super excited about that. So this is where we're growing. We want to help the Ganan family more. We want to make sure that every kid next month gets a lunch bag. We want to make sure that every family in Head Start gets a frozen turkey, and that as best as we can, every person on the streets has a warm place to sleep this winter. It's a big deal. This is your church. So how are we going to do it? The answer is in my pocket. It's a candy bar. This is what we're going to do. So when you leave today, there's 100 take fives in the back there. And now I was thinking about this. I'm like, the 9:30 is so rowdy, they may take all 100, and the 11's not even going to get a chance to play. But here's what it looks like. These take fives is this. Every Take 5 candy bar is going to represent you saying, I'm going to give $5 a week. So whatever you're already giving, okay, I'm already giving to this church, and not because I'm the pastor, because I love this church. And so I'm giving to this church, but I love Take 5s too. So I'm planning to grab a couple of those. And then when I get home, I'm going on my recurring giving, and I'm upping it by $5 for every single one of my candy bars. And so I want to make sure that I want to be invested. I can't see a kid not get a lunch bag. I can't see a family not get a turkey. I can't see someone stay on the streets. So these resources are going to help our budget grow so we can keep doing outreach. And I want to make sure that the Ganan family has all that they need to keep coming along, students and schools, to make sure the gospel is out. So what we're doing is every Take 5, we're going to give 5% directly to the Ganan family to support them in missions. That's a big deal. So it's not just, oh, I'm helping my church. Already with every bar, you can now say, I support a missionary with this thing. John and Katie got prayer cards back there. So when you take a candy bar, you take a prayer card. And when you're doing that Cheerio thing, I prefer mini wheats, but whatever your cereal looks like, and you're thinking, man, I wonder how my missionaries are doing, you know that you are giving 5% every out of what you took directly to the Ganans to support them. That is a big deal. We have this scripture posted above our giving boxes. Each one of you must give as he has desired in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know why I know that's true of this church? Maybe you've noticed something if you've been coming. We don't take an offering, right? Come on, we want to make sure that as much compulsion that we can pull away from giving, we do. So there, no one's coming around with a bucket. We just put boxes on the wall, and we just say, man, people will give because this church is generous. Because in 6 months, it's already almost, it's half of $100,000 that have been coming in just from people saying, where's the box? Let me go online. Let me use the website. Let me give. And so in this moment and today, each one of us in here are going to decide what this looks like for us. Some of you, I know God's going to put on your heart to take 5-10 candy bars. In fact, I wanted to do 100 grand candy bars, but I don't have that kind of money. So we went with Take 5s, not 100 grand. I was going to put some paydays back there and just work off the whole thing. Out of your payday, you take 5, and then you give 100 grand, whatever candy you need to make it happen. But here's the truth of it, guys. If you're a part of this church, I want you to understand that your generosity is changing people's lives. And if you're new to this church, here's why you should be excited today. Because you've entered a church that's characterized by three things. We've got this slide here. The first is this: our church is growing. It is growing. It is just continuing to grow. It is continuing to change. Numbers are continuing to change. The band can come on up. The numbers are starting to change. The attendance is starting to change. Everything about this space is growing. You're not in a church that's just kind of decreasing and going backwards. You're part of a church that is growing and going forward. And so if you're new to this space, you're wondering what kind of a church is it? It's a growing church. It's a church that's making a difference. The second thing is this: you're part of a generous church. There are people in this space that every single week they are committed. I love recurring giving. I personally use recurring online giving because I'm way too spacey to remember to bring a checkbook or cash. But I know every single Sunday I look forward to getting that email that says your donation has been processed. That's how I continue to make sure I'm going to be generous. And in this space, there are generous people. And you're already giving. And today, in a tangible way, is a way for you to say, I want to give more. Or for some of you, you're going to say today, I'm taking a first step. I'm grabbing a candy bar. This might be the first time you've ever given to a church. And I'm so excited for you to start experiencing the joy that comes from it. When you start knowing, man, $5 a week, that made a difference. $10 a week, whatever that looks like. And the third thing you got to understand about our church is we're a giving church, which means what we have, we don't just use here. I'm not looking to just make this master facility that can just be about the people who come here. We want to take our resources and our generosity and make sure that people out there know that God loves them. And that's the kind of church that you're a part of. That's why John preached today about sowing and reaping. You want somewhere to sow your money? You want somewhere to invest in? Would you consider Truth Community Church? A church that's growing. A church that's generous. A church that's giving. And you get ready, because I'm telling you, when you go back there and you start grabbing those bars, you're about to experience some joy like you haven't felt before. You are. If you've never given before, you just wait. It's going to be the best $5, $10, whatever it is you choose to give. Each one must decide. Whatever it is, it's going to be the best place for you to put your money each week. I don't look back on Sunday and say, man, I wish I didn't give that to the church. But there are multiple times I'm like, why did I buy that latte again, man? I was like $7. Like, there are those things that come through. Right, man, why'd I go on that trip? I mean, it was supposed to be vacation, and I feel stressed out now, right? We have those moments that John was saying we're investing somewhere, and the return isn't great. But you start investing in a place that God says, man, watch me change lives. You are going to experience joy. So 9:30, be rowdy. Grab those bars. I want to tell the 11, we had a basket for you, but it was empty when you came to church. You should have came early. But listen to me. Every bar you take, take that serious, because we're excited to count up when there's zero back there and say, John and Katie, you guys, $100 more a month now. We're so excited to be able to bless you with that. So please take this serious. Don't just grab a candy because you like candy, okay? Take the candy, put it in your pocket, put it in your car. When you get home, I'm telling you, when you get home, go right onto the website and set up your thing. You'll forget if you don't. Set it up. $5 a week, $10 a week. If you already have one, $5 more, $10 more. Sow this seed and watch God use it. So we're going to sing this song together called There Is a Cloud, because I believe that God is going to move in our community. Because I believe that like a flood, God is about to pour down blessings in this community, not because we're giving to getting, we're giving to give more. Okay, don't mishear me on that. I'm not saying give so your bills can be paid and God's going to show up. No, you give so that people out there can be taken care of. This is a generosity thing. Would you stand with me? This is a generosity thing. And so we believe God is about to pour down his rain in Flanders, in Riverside, in Northampton, that the Riverhead School District is about to see a culture shift. That they're about to see positivity and the gospel come through students deciding, I've had enough, not in my school, not on my watch, not my community, not my church. We are going to give, and we're going to see God like a flood begin to pour down his blessing in this space.